This is Jack Kendy, and you're listening to On The Wire.
And you're welcome along. This is Johnny Ward.
I'm Brendan Duke.
And we are here for our Antipost special, looking at the Christmas markets. We have an absolutely packed show today. We're going to have Henry de Bromhead on. We're going to have Brian Kavanagh of HRI giving his Joy of Six. We're going to have loads of previews of the weekend action. We have plenty of special offers as well for Bar One customers. And we just have an awful lot to get through, Dukey. And you have something you wanted to introduce early on in the show as well this week.
Well, I'm constantly struck by stories of how lucky we are as punters in terms of assessing risk versus reward. Because I saw a story in the paper earlier in the week about this funeral director who said there was an epidemic of people stealing bouquets of flowers from graves. And I was just thinking...
Bit of a zero-sum game, isn't it?
Well, I don't even think it's a zero-sum game, because if you got caught doing that, and in this day when everything is filmed, there's a reasonable chance you will get caught, you're basically going to...
No, I was paying my respects.
Well, you're basically going to be shamed.
Yeah.
For what? For like 20 quid for a bouquet of flowers? What does a bouquet of flowers cost? A bit of score?
We were discussing this pre-show. I don't know if I've ever actually bought a bouquet of flowers. Have you?
I think I did. I think I have bought a bouquet of flowers, all right, from my mother at one stage. It must have been very bold. But
did you give a bouquet of flowers to your one in Poland that time that you were carrying her bag for?
No. I didn't. I hadn't got the hands free.
Presence was enough.
Yeah, but basically, punters aren't stealing those bouquets of flowers because they know it's not worth the risk.
As much as we're Racing TV apologists, because this is a Racing TV podcast, Racing TV will have a fully dedicated Irish channel on St. Stephen's Day, which will be on the free sports channel in Britain and Ireland. What I was really impressed with here is the use of St. Stephen's Day in the press release, because this is getting politically right. I just call it the 26th now to appease, people in Britain, basically.
Well, you have a global audience as well. Yeah, I think you have to do that. But that's great news.
It's a good move.
It's a good move, because there just wouldn't be time. So you'd be able to see the horses in the parade ring. I mean, it'll still be a pretty packed show with three meetings, but you'd be able to see the horses in the parade ring, get a bit of chat about them. That's really good news.
On Sunday, we had Andy Dufresne knocked over by freaks by... The Paul Nolan horse.
Latest exhibition,
who looks a lovely horse. Paul Nolan getting a few nice horses again. On social media, though, arguably, I think the chat of the week actually pertained to a run-of-the-mill maiden hurdle that happened at Naas on Monday.
As they race inside the final two furlongs, and it's Capilano Bridge with trying to challenge on the far side, right place, right time. Back in third is Colour Me In, then Golden Nomad. They're well clear from Monty's Mission, Last Return and the Gabby Cabby. It's a set two up the hill inside the last 150. Capilano Bridge was trying desperately hard on the rail, right place, right time. They're stride for stride as they go towards the judge. It is a bob of the heads, right place, right time. Might just have been from Capilano Bridge, Colour Me In. And fourth over the line was Golden Nomad.
Okay, so obviously Kevin Blake was quite vocal on this, and like once this race was over, I was basically texting my mate and I was saying that ride is an absolute disgrace. There's no way you should be riding like that. Absolutely. On so many levels. And then later that day, Kevin Blake came out and spoke about it on his article, and Richie Forrestal then had a piece in the Racing Post. I'm not trying to vilify Ricky Doyle here, but if that's not dangerous riding, I give up.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, he barely gave him the room to get around the hurdle, and then he's hit the horse to push him into the hurdle, and then he's gone again when he didn't manage to put him through the hurdle. I mean, I don't want to be an apologist for jockeys. That was a desperate performance, and it really did look like dangerous riding. But it's the culture they're in. I mean, there's no other industry I can think of in the world where the health and safety regulations are written for the customer rather than the staff.
Yeah, I think what he's thinking there is, if I win by a neck, I'm going to hold on to the race.
Well, that's exactly what he's thinking. And why wouldn't he think that? Now, it didn't apply in this case, but the euphemisms around this rubbish are incredible. He didn't pull a stick through. In fact, he did everything he could to make sure the horse got as close to the rail as possible. But you hear these people say, oh, he had a stick in the correct hand. Now, I've had one horse riding lesson, Johnny. But they did say to me at the start of it, you steer with the reins. But as you say, where's the incentive to put the whip down and pull the horse with the other rein to lose momentum, because you're not going to get disqualified. You just get a ban.
Yeah, I actually think instances like this might serve to, you know, open the debate again and get discourse going on our rules, because when you compare it to what Frankie Dettori obviously got in Melbourne, it was he knew that he had a good chance of holding on to the race by riding, to my mind, in a really, really aggressive and dangerous manner.
Well, I couldn't agree more, but unfortunately, it's the world is going against it, Johnny, because the French have decided now to adopt a more British and Irish approach with their rules. And I think it's insulting to the customer as well. It's like, oh, people will stop watching racing if their horses get disqualified. Well, as you say, it's a zero-sum game. You're going to win some, you're going to lose some. I think they'd rather that than... I mean, it's like Ben-Hur out there. It's lawless.
It's competition time with On The Wire in association with Bar One Racing, who are giving a €100 free bet to residents in the Republic of Ireland, of course, over the age of 18. If you can answer this question properly, so 2003, that was my first Cheltenham, and Barry Geraghty had 5 winners. Can you name all 5 winners? Now, the caveat is you have to be the 5th person to respond with the right answer to onthewire@racingtv.com. We worked that quite well, Juki.
Well, I think it's a cracking question, because with a lot of these questions, it's a phone-in number and they want you to just the first letter of your own name or whatever. But that question, obviously, 99% of people will have to look that up, and then they can still go through this process and they've ever got a chance. But can you imagine if there's someone out there who can name all those? And there will be.
Absolutely. And just stay listening as well, because we've more specials from Bar One, and thanks to our sponsor Bar One, who have all these races priced up for Leopardstown at Christmas. They have all these races priced up, Duke. They also are 5th 3 places for many of them. But before we get to it, will we have a bit of Henry de Bromhead?
Uh-huh. What an egg this man is. I've had a little preview of this.
I even had a little Juki question towards the end. Henry, how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. And you, Johnny?
I'm not too bad. Are you looking forward to Christmas?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, so you're going to give us an early Christmas present and reveal exclusively and on the wire that Honeysuckle is, after all, going to Leopardstown, or is she not?
No, sadly not, no.
My question is, how good is she? How good could she be? And are you absolutely buzzing every morning going out to see that she's there and she's alive and she's well?
Ah, look, she looks pretty good. I've probably seen as much as you guys have, and on what she's done, we couldn't ask for more so far. She's been great.
Yeah, and I suppose the first day I saw her jump a hurdle, I was thinking, God, he'd be dying to get this mare over a fence. But what's the long-term plan, do you think, in that regard?
Oh, we'll see. We'll try and get through this year anyhow, and we can see from there.
Yeah.
She jumps a fence really well. She's obviously won a point to point. But she's only 5 now, so we thought it might be a bit soon to go over fences with her, especially as you know she was doing so well over hurdles. So we'll see. We'll get through this year first, anyhow, and see how we get on.
You've obviously trained some proper geldings in your time, but have you kind of cottoned on to how much the public seems to have really embraced this mare?
Certainly, I was amazed at the reception she got when she came in the other day after the Hatton's Grace. So I was pretty surprised then. It's probably starting to dawn on me now, all right. She's got a great following.
And temperamentally sound and all that?
Oh, yeah. She seems, touch wood, she seems pretty straightforward.
And my last question, if all going well, where would you think she might be in Cheltenham?
I would say we're very much leaning towards the mare's hurdle at the moment, and we will keep our options open.
That's a very good diplomatic answer, and that's absolutely perfect. We're looking forward to seeing wherever she goes. I want to ask you about Mona Lee. Where is he at the moment?
Yeah, he seems in super form. He's really coming to himself now. He had a pretty probably disappointing year last year, although he was second in a Grade One and he won the Red Mills Chase. It was pretty disappointing, but he seems in great form now, and hopefully we have him back to where he should be. He'll come on plenty for his first run, and look forward to getting him out again. He's in the King George, and he's also in the Savills Chase. Subject to ground, he'll end up running in one of those, one or the other. probably leaning towards the Savills Chase at the moment, but nothing's been confirmed as yet.
A horse that obviously created such a good impression last year, and despite the fact he was beaten this year and his return didn't really lose anything in defeat, Manella Indo, and lots of people excited to see where he goes next.
Yeah, he's going to go for the 3 mile novice chase at Leopardstown on the 29th, the grade one. He'll just go straight for that. He would have done that if he had won his beginners. And, you know, he was obviously beaten by Lorena over probably an inadequate trip for him. And it was his first run back. He's a horse that takes a lot of work. So, yeah, we're aiming for that.
And a horse that's been that created a huge impression on his hurdle debut, Aspire Tower, considering what went wrong in the race. You've him entered on the 26th, I see.
Yeah, he's entered for the grade two at Leopardstown. Yeah, look, he looks nice. It was his first run for us. We couldn't have been happier with how he did it. And yeah, I'm looking forward to getting him out again. He seems in good form and he's training really well.
You wouldn't have trained that many juveniles over the years.
No, I haven't. I'd say my first juvenile winner was last year, having a good time. And we haven't done. I probably just had never really got that type of horse before. But yeah, look, delighted with him. He seems a really nice horse. And, you know, really happy the way he did it.
What about Chris's Dream? Obviously, exceptional at Navan last time.
Yeah, he was really, he was good. He jumped and galloped away well, saw out 3 miles really well, and it was, you know, it was a great race to win. He's gone up to 159 now. We were toying with the idea of the Thiestes, but I'd say that's gone out the window. So he's just a horse that seems to run well fresh. So we said we'd aim towards the Irish Gold Cup at Leopardstown in February, and that'll be his next run.
And anything else kind of noteworthy over the Christmas that you're particularly looking forward to running? Obviously, you've a couple of obviously notebooks in the Race Post Novice Chase as well, and the Mandalube in a Grade One Novice Chase as well at Limerick.
Yeah, look, we've some lovely horses to run. I'm not going to think of them all, to be honest, but there's some lovely horses there. I think Notebook's been very impressive. Haven't had a horse to jump like him for a long time.
That's saying something.
So, however, you know, we'll see how that goes. Obviously, he's a bit behind the fancied horses on hurdle ratings, but the way he jumps, I think it makes a huge difference for him. Demanda Loeb is in Limerick. Yeah, we've left him in. He was very disappointing at Navan, so we ran him back quickly at Thurles, and it seems he just prefers to go right-handed. Aplutard is in the 2 mile one. Buddy Mouchoir will be in the Matheson hurdle. Falco de Flo and Paloma Blue are in the Savills Chase.
So many horses.
A nice horse called Fusain on the first day in Leopardstown. I'm trying to think of them, to be honest. There's quite a few there now. So, there's plenty there. I'm sure I have missed something, but I definitely have. But there's plenty of nice ones there. Yeah, and you know we're looking forward to it.
Baptism of Fire. How good could he be?
Baptism of Fire. He's a nice horse. He works okay. He'll run in a bumper somewhere. He's in Leopardstown and Limerick. Just haven't firmed up where he'll go as yet.
And final question for you, and this is from Juki. Where did you come up with this loose schooling crack, and why isn't everyone doing it?
I can't tell you why everyone doesn't do it. I saw it in Tom Costello's many years ago. He was a big dealer. He used to sell a lot of horses. He sold, I think, 7 Gold Cup winners. And that's how he used to show his horses when you went to buy them. And I thought it was fascinating. Also, Demi O'Byrne used to do it when I was working with him. I used to see him doing it. And he swore by it. He'd sold a lot of very good National Hunt horses years ago, and I used to see Henrietta Knight doing it a lot as well. So various people, and it just seemed to make sense. You know, the horses learn to think for themselves. It's not, you know, I'm not saying it's not foolproof, but it definitely gives them a bit of confidence.
Henry, we really appreciate your time. Have a great Christmas and give Honeysuckle a good old peck in the cheek for us.
Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Before we bring you Bar One's latest special offer, do remember to gamble responsibly over the Christmas.
To celebrate our association with Racing TV's On The Wire podcast, in addition to our sign-up offer, new and existing Irish customers of bar1racing.com can avail of a €10 risk-free bet by entering the promo code On The Wire. That's all one word and in capital letters. That's the promo code On The Wire. This offer runs until midnight on the 31st of December. Happy Christmas and a prosperous new year from us all here at Bar One Racing. T's and C's apply.
Henry is he's a beautiful Anglo-Norman name. He's just a polished, polished performer. He was very given with his time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was Root and Branch stuff, wasn't it? I mean, he strikes you as a very good egg. I was trying to think of ways which I could fault him in any way. And the only thing I can think of is that is the horses are invariably last into the parade ring,
right,
which is frustrating for paddock watchers like me. But you just have to give him a pass. I mean, he's always got a smile on his face. Horses immaculately turned out. And the way they jump.
He's a noble man in many ways.
Yes, I would agree with that, yeah.
Let's talk Leopardstown. So we have the Future Champions Novice Hurdle, the Racing Post Novice Chase, the Paddy Awards Club Chase, the Paddy Power Chase, the Leopardstown Christmas Hurdle, the Savills Chase, the Neville Hotel Novice Chase, the Leopardstown December Hurdle, all priced up on Bar One's website. So we'll go through this in the order that they're actually ranked, Juki, starting with the Future Champions Novice Hurdle, which could be an absolute cracker. Abracadabras versus Blue Sari and Easy Work.
Yes, Abracadabra's form got a boost during the at the weekend, running close to Envoy Allen as well. A worthy fav. I'd struggle to oppose him.
What do you make of Blue Sari?
Well, he's a very exciting horse. I mean, I don't know how much credit to give him for getting that close to Envoy Allen, because we do get the sense that Envoy Allen just does what he needs to do. But he's got closer than Abracadabras, in fairness.
Okay, what do you need to say about this? Fakir Dudaris versus Lorena. Even potentially a few others, the likes of Tornado Flyer and so on.
Yeah, but a Notebook and a fifth of first three.
And we got the Notebook word from HDB there.
Well, you only have to go back and look at him. What a round of jumping that was in Punches of Town. I mean, this horse, he has to make up ground. He was a decent novice hurdler now, but he has to make up ground. But he is just a wicked jumper. I think 8-1, a fifth to three. I'm really struggling to kick him out of three. I've had a few quid on him for the Arkle. He's to give more weight to Fakir in this race than he will have to give him in the Arkle. We don't have to give him anything in the Arkle. But, and he has to give Lorena her mare's allowance. It's going to be a struggle, but 8-1, a 5-3 is just, I priced that race in a minimum at a 5-1 shot.
We will have a Christmas nap from Jane Mangan later on, and actually comes in this race, but my selection will be Lorena in this. I think she's probably a more talented horse than Fakir. I'm just still a little bit suspect about what would have happened, obviously, between Fakir and Samkra. I think Samkra would have won, but what a round of jumping he put in. And let's move on to the next race. It just gets better and better. Chacun pour soi, everyone for himself, is the French translation. Mm. What does he face in this? Speaking to the Richie camp, I think they're very confident about where this horse is at the moment, but what comes second to him, I suppose?
Yeah, so I don't trust Hardline. It's hard to see Silas running. A Plutar will run, I would guess. You're really scratching around for that's if you could find a runner. Again, it's the first three places, but I don't like having an each-way bet unless I think the horse can win. And can anything beat this Chacun? I mean, I just went back and looked at the running Nace. Obviously, the running punch is down on form, but the running Nace, it's so evocative of Duvan, isn't it? I mean, that horse, he's just sprinkled with stardust. He went, and actually, the opposition, they weren't complete rabble in behind him. And he just jumped and travelled and decimated them. It was decimated them.
Yeah. We're still on Friday's racing here, which is Friday the 27th, by which time we'll have gotten through the Christmas dinner and all that, but do you buy into the win over Defi Desai in terms of the literal kind of reading of the form?
I do, because I think he's one of the most exciting horses I've seen in the last decade, if they can keep him sound.
I put up 5 horses anti-post for Cheltenham. 2 of them won't run this season. That was like almost straight away. Mm-hmm. That was Gypsy Island and Malone Road. Nice. The other 3 were Chacun pour soi, Saldier when he was 20s, 25s, and the other one I actually can't remember at the moment, but I think he's still alive anyway. We're still on Friday here. Do you have an opinion on the Paddy Power Chase? I don't think we should spend too much time on this, because I think it's not a good anti-post race for me.
Yeah, I struggled with the Paddy Power Chase.
I did think there were a couple of interesting horses in it. I think obviously if Tower Bridge could bounce back, he's certainly of note.
And I think the Jessica Harrington horse, Whisper in the Breeze, could be one to kind of get out early in front and bang away, although has made a few mistakes this season.
Yes, and possibly went too hard in Navin. That could be an angle.
I think because he's obviously course form and all that. And we'll see who rides him. But before we get on to the 28th, right, so the Savile Chase, you've some good memories of this, no doubt.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're going to play one here now in a second.
Here is one.
Now they begin to race for the home turn, and it's Denman from the Listener moving up on the outside. In third is Mossbank as they round the home turn. Denman, the Listener, and Mossbank as they straighten up for the final fence. It's Denman, Ruby Walsh from Mossbank on the outside. Davy Russell in the centre is the Listener and Daryl Jacob, but Denman leads Mossbank and the Listener. In fourth is Beaver Salmon. Final fence in the Lexus Chase, and it's Denman over in front of Mossbank. Then comes the Listener, and on the run up towards the finish, it's Denman and Ruby Walsh from Mossbank. The Listener and Beaver Salmon staying on again as they race up towards the finish. It's going to be another big one for Ruby Walsh and Paul Nichols. What a hand he's got in the Gold Cup. Ruby and Denman win the Lexus.
Denman, yeah, the machine.
Well, indeed, yeah. That was his perfect season, 4 from 4.
Spoke to another friend of the show, as we'll call him, presenting Percy's owner, Philip Reynolds. Bullish about the horse as well, being ahead of this race. And the one thing he said to me, I think it's going to be a big field. I think it is, and it is going to be a big field. Kenboy 7-4, the Percy 7-2, Road to Respect 9-2, the odds with Bar 1 as we speak.
Yes, again, not very imaginative, but I'm struggling to get away from the Fav.
No issues with the lack of a run or anything like that?
Not particularly.
No. Of course.
What are you thinking there with the lack of a run?
Patrick Mullins being disappointed in Ace that he thinks, you know, horses will come on. But Kenboy's plan is to win the Gold Cup. Kenboy's plan this season was to actually be able to race for much of it because of the Gold Supreme. Yeah. But, you know, I obviously we had that extraordinary ride from David Mullins. We wish David the best at Leopardstown last season. But Percy's had a run. I like his run at Punchdown. I think he's the value. I think if you get 4 or 5 to 1 on the day, why not go each way with him?
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
So we're still on day 3 of the Leopardstown Festival now, if I can find it here. And we are Benny Didew versus Bacardi's and Apple's Jade in the Christmas Hurdle on the 28th.
Yeah. Well, having given Apple's a pass for an Avon run, I was disappointed with the effort in Fairy House.
I think she might bow out of racing after this race. I think it's very, very likely. I think if she flops, she's gone.
Yes, I'd say there's a reasonable chance of that. But Bacardi's came home at a respectful distance behind Henry's mare. But yeah, Benny again looks a worthy fav. This is terrible, isn't it? Just tip up the favs.
Yeah, well, we will be a bit more imaginative as the day goes on. We're now on to the 29th. This is an absolute belter. The Novice Chase, which is sponsored by Neville Hotels Novice Chase. Manila Indo. Interesting, you have a favourite for a grade one who's actually hasn't won a race over fences yet. But his start behind Lorena was perfectly promising. I think Henry likes him a lot.
Yeah, well, he's rarely let him down, in fairness. I was a little bit surprised he was favourite. I would have had Battle Over Diane favourite.
I'm with you. He's one of my better bets of the Christmas Festival.
Yeah, and we can't rule out Ronald Pump for those that like an each way bet. I mean, he didn't jump as well the second time up in Fairy House, but we know he can jump a bit better than that, and he did show a lot of heart to get back into the race after the mistake he made.
Absolutely, and speaking to Matthew Smith recently, still very, very happy with the horse. And we are now on to an absolute belter again. This is a race that the Leopardstown December Hurdle, this is a race that I think we need to know a bit more about the narrative for the Champion Hurdle, in which case we kind of need Classical Dream to win this and win it well.
Yeah.
11-10 favourite.
Well, unless Course of Bleem goes and wins it really well, because in fairness, his jumping has improved no end, hasn't it? I mean, he was really slick in Down Royal. I mean, his jumping has been the thing that's held him back. He was pretty good in the Triumph Hurdle, actually, but he seems to have got the hang of jumping. But hopefully Classical Dream, he's still my hunch for a very cloudy Champion Hurdle picture, but I just can't get away. But maybe it was a terrible Supreme. Maybe it's certainly not working out. I suppose that's possible. But how can a horse be that free in a race
and win?
And win. and go away at the end. He must have a big engine, right?
He's 7-2 favourite at the moment for the champion hurdle bet bar one. Saldia, who'll be my choice, is 5-1. Obviously, that slight concern about Saldia that he did bomb when he ran in the Triumph hurdle, but such as it is. It's time for the joy of six now, and this week we got HRI CEO Brian Kavanagh.
What's your favourite race course and why?
My favourite race course, I guess, is Leopardstown in Dublin. It's where I first went racing. And it was my local track when I was growing up. It stages top quality flat and national hunt racing. Its viewing is excellent. And the Christmas festival there and the Dublin Racing Festival over jumps and the Irish Champion Stakes meeting are as good as you would get anywhere in the world.
Name of your favourite racehorse, past or present?
My favourite horse is See the Stars. I just loved his racing career, and he's gone on to become a fantastic stallion at stud. He was trained here in Ireland on the Curra, and he won Group 1 race after Group 1 race in 2009, culminating in his majestic Arc victory in Longchamp.
What one change would you bring to racing?
I would love to see uniform medication rules worldwide. I think they are coming, and I think pretty soon, countries like the USA will come in line with other parts of the racing world.
What was the best bet you ever placed?
That was probably a £50 bet I had on Sindar to win the Epsom Derby in 2000 at 10-1. Ireland hadn't had an Epsom Derby winner for about 16 years. And my wife was working for the Aga Khan at the time. And we backed Sindar, and he came storming up the track to give Johnny Murta and John Ox their first Derby win.
Give us a horse to look out for.
The horse I love this season over jumps is Envoy Dallin of Gordon Elliott's, last year's Cheltenham bumper winner, who is looking just as impressive over hurdles, and I can't wait to see him running at Christmas.
And this week's wildcard question...
Your prediction for when Brexit will be over and done with. Hopefully after the election in the UK last week, we can now move on to the next phase of Brexit. Britain will leave the EU at the end of January, and we'll spend next year trying to negotiate a new trade deal. So hopefully that can be concluded next year. And by the start of 2021, we're talking about Brexit in the past tense.
Right, Juki, it's now time to go through the naps of the Christmas period. I'm going to start with Jane Mangan, who sent on a pretty likely selection, I think. Females and all that, sisters doing it for themselves.
My tip for Christmas is Lorena. Whatever race she runs in, whether it's 2 miles or 2.5 miles, I think she's a very, very good novice chaser for the year. And I was in Gorn when she won, and... she is super. She made a good horse look slow, and not many can do that.
Yeah, I can't really argue with Lorena there. You're Nap Juki. You've gone a bit Thurles-esque, I think, here.
Well, I just thought I'd put one up for Thurles. It may not run because it does have an entry on the 26th, as we will call it. But this Demazaro looked like he potentially got off lightly with an 8-pound rise for beating Top Moon and Galway. That Top Moon has gone forward since. And certainly his run in the Greatwood suggested that he was led. He ran off 7 pounds higher in England. Wouldn't have won, but would have finished fourth or fifth, beaten about 10 lengths. Gets a big drop in grade here. And I thought he'd be very hard to beat if he takes up his option at Thurles. But one that I'm almost certain that will run is on the 26th in Limerick, Bay Ambition. Oh, so frustrating. I backed this mare in Navan. Thought she was well handicapped. And I'm still convinced she was well handicapped. Never missed a hurdle. Winging hurdles, travelling away. Comes down to the second last and took a pearler of a fall. It actually took her a while to get up. So we do have this concern that it might leave a mark on her. But if it hasn't, and I'm sure that Gavin Cromwell would have left no stone unturned in terms of getting her confidence back. She's only a pound higher. 2 furlong drop and trip. Don't think it'll be a problem, given the conditions are going to be very attritional and the way she travelled in Navan. And I thought Bay Ambition would be winning the 205 in Limerick.
The Matchbook Betting Exchange novice chase at Limerick on the 26th. You think two sons of Germany could be taking each other on here at different stages of their career?
Very much so. I don't see the option. Well, I've just...
My concern is just maybe the likes of the connections of Sam Crowe. You know, we saw the Salt Hill pictures last night where basically they sent a weather warning an hour after the storm, I think. But like my mate lives in Salt Hill, a lot of cars are going into sea, they're completely destroyed, but Limerick is going to be bottomless, I would have thought.
Yes.
So I'd have connection, just small concern with the likes of Sam Crowe connections, be thinking, oh, do we really want to give him a go on this sort of ground at this stage? But who knows?
Well, I might be getting carried away. It's just because this season has gone so well in terms of horses taking each other on.
Yeah.
It has been a joy. And I just feel there aren't any other options. I mean, if they're not going to run here, I suppose they can wait for the Champions Weekend in Leopardstown or what have you. But I think they will run. And I think it's a fascinating race because, as you say, I think Faugheen, the heavy ground will be less of an issue for him. And interestingly, despite that jarring error he made, he jumped in the well in the main in Punchestown, showing a lot more respect to fences than he was for hurdles. Mm. So at those kind of prices, what have we got, 11 to 4 and evens?
Yeah.
I'd be on Faugheen. I suggest you wouldn't.
Watching Dundalk on Wednesday, I don't know if you've been to Dundalk recently, but they've moved all the bookmakers indoors. And if ever there were a night, it was absolutely apoplectic out there. It was one of the most horrible nights to be riding a horse. But the bookmakers are indoors. And if you are around on Friday night, your pre-Christmas few pints, Dundalk will be buzzing. And it'll be particularly buzzing if my nap comes in.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you might have the price of a dinner. I'd recommend the dinner there. It's probably the best food.
And the best value as well. Like it's very affordable.
The woman who runs that place, so I haven't been up for about 6 months, but the last time I went up there, she sends me out this, all I can describe it was like a Toblerone mountain of food on top of the thing. And she's about to hand it to me and she says, "Have you enough there?" And I had to look kind of sideways to get a look at her. I couldn't see over the dinner. And she was there, "Have some more, you know."
That's absolutely fantastic. Yeah. Like a very caring mother who's kind of looking after you. Yeah. What's your Christmas dinner like? Is it kind of basically the ham and turkey?
I think so. My sister's looking after it this year, but we don't tend to stray far from tradition.
The glazed ham.
Yes,
that'll be my favourite.
A few cloves. And I don't know, I think turkey's a very underrated meat. Every Christmas I'm reminded of why I don't eat more turkey.
What about your dad? Has he won one over the Christmas?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he has
the Triumph Hurdle candidate.
The Clemencia.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was talking to him a couple of days ago, and he says the horse has improved. Now, again, we have to factor in. But also the horse should be improved.
Yeah.
He's at that stage in his career. This is a proper race now. You have
the Bromhead runner as well.
The Bromhead runner, Cerberus. A wave at the sea gets a decent swing at the weights because Cerberus will have a penalty. You've a couple of French recruits, one for Willie and one for Gordon in the entries. But I think Madaz horse, it'll be interesting what price he is because he got a huge RPR figure for winning a juvenile hurdle. And the Time Boys were very impressed. But I still think, given the connection to the other runners, he's going to be an 8 or 10 to 1 shot. But like the man likes to tilt at windmills. Like to have an 8 or 10 to 1 shot is a relatively short price. So I think he's entitled to have a go.
Absolutely. My nap is the 8:15 Dundalk Turf Ranger. I thought was a bit unlucky last time. Robbie Colgan taking the ride. And don't forget to avail of Bar One's hashtag offer as well with the tenner bet for On The Wire. Thanks very much for listening. Dukie, where will people see you over the Christmas?
See me in Leopardstown, weather permitting, 26th to 29th.
Weather permitting?
Well, if it's lashing rain, I'm not going out.
That's why you love him, and thank you for listening.
Open an account with barwinracing.com and receive a €30 or £30 free bet when you have a bet of €10 or £10 at evens or greater. T's and C's apply.
Thank you for listening to On The Wire in association with Bar One Racing.